Did you see Mr. Obama's 60 Minutes interview? It was very nice to hear him deal directly with how he felt that since there was a financial crisis when he stepped in as president in 2009, you know, he had worked, you know, in Congress, so he was aware of how the partisan divide works. But he felt that since the country was in such a crisis at that point in time, that he thought there would be a willingness to reach across the aisle to civilly negotiate and to work together. Well, much to his great disappointment, the only thing that he seemed to hear from the Republicans was that all that mattered was making sure that Obama doesn't have a second term. This was extremely disappointing for our president. He was not concerned about a second term. He was concerned about getting things going for the country. Now, what do you make of a party like the Republicans who say that all that matters is to make sure that Obama is not reelected? Is that showing a concern for the country that we live in? Is that showing a concern for the future? To see how this partisan divide came together, and there are so many different elements converging into it. On the simplest level, back in the early 30s, during the last Great Depression, we got a progressive thinking Democrat to become president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, Roosevelt, we should consider, was probably the most popular president of all time. He was elected four times. It was so alarming that they changed the rules so that could never happen again. And, of course, Mr. Roosevelt did not live out his fourth term, so he was only president for 12 years. But still, the most popular president of all time. And his New Deal, which basically gave a fair deal to everybody in the country based on a very simple proposition that if the wealthy prosper, then everybody prospers. The New Deal was the best thing that happened to this country, perhaps from the beginning of this country. The New Deal is what got us through World War II and made us the most prosperous country in the world in the 50s. But during that time period, 30s, 40s, and 50s, there was hatred brewing among the neoconservative right. By the early 60s, they were foaming at the mouth. They were out of their minds in reactionary anger that a fair deal was happening to the country. That's not what they wanted at all. By the early 60s, the rumblings were very evident. There was the John Birch Society out in California. There were a bunch of oil millionaires in Texas who were actually putting out posters, John F. Kennedy wanted for treason, that were in Dallas, Texas, the day that President Kennedy was murdered. At the same time, the right also started to work with the religious right. Religion should not be making partisan comments. That is improper. That's the improper use of the pulpit to actually tell people how to vote and how to think. The idea is to give people spiritual growth. And now the right wing started to align with the crazy religious people. It took another 20 years. Certainly we saw Goldwater and we saw images coming up during this time period. But it took until they actually put Ronald Reagan in office for the right to gain their power back. And the first thing that Ronald Reagan did was he set out to destroy 50 years of progress in this country, the New Deal. He set out to get rid of the New Deal. He pulled the plugs on unions in Washington, D.C. The FCC became destabilized. The result of this right-wing thinking created the partisan bloc which we experience today, because for the last 30 years we have been seeing nothing but a downhill movement politically in this country. We see the growth of right-wingers on popular radio and stuff, but we see a deadlocked Congress that can't move forward and is more concerned about social issues than it is about the actual country itself. When a party can actually say things, we want President Obama to fail, which means we want the country to fail. When they say the only thing that matters is getting him out of office, so that means that these years when he's in office, all they want to do is just stop the forward movement of the country. This is hate. This is hate at work. They have aligned themselves with the religious right. The problem with the religious right is that they think that God, their imaginary God, takes care of everything. So therefore, there's really no reason to think of the future. In fact, the religious right believes these are the end times, and so it's their job to bring on the end times. Now, no offense to people who are religious believers, but I don't buy that stuff. There's not going to be a second coming. Jesus is not coming back. There's not going to be a rapture, any of that stuff. But these people who have that in their heads do not think of the future. And the Republicans who have aligned with that really don't think of the future either. Oh, they might make comments about how Obama is doing such terrible things. He's ransoming away the future for our children. But in fact, they don't think of the future either. You know, witness the way they don't accept the scientific consensus on global warming. If they actually thought of the future, they would actually take steps to give us a good future. Instead, their only concern is to make more money. More money, more money, more money. The oil companies deserve more money. Everybody who is wealthy deserves to be richer. What this is doing is destabilizing our country. Look at other countries in this world where there is no middle class, where there is just 90% of poor people and a few percent of rich people running things. That's what they want in this country, because they don't care about you. They don't care about me. All they care about is their purse, their bank account. And at the same time, we're also being told that we should ignore things like the fact that population is going out of control, that every 38 years, the population of the planet doubles. People can go, oh, woe is the world because it isn't as good as it was back in the 60s. Well, there were 3.5 billion people on Earth in the late 60s. There are 7 billion people on Earth now. There are many cities that are so gigantic it's almost unimaginable. The area of Tokyo in Japan, 35 million people live there. That's more people than live in the entire country of Canada, which has 34 million as a population. And there are other areas, many, where the population growth is growing so big that by 2050, there's going to be these megapolises, and basically everybody's rushing into urban centers. Who's thinking of the future? City planners, maybe. But are our politicians? Are our spiritual leaders? This is the Weekly News and Review. This was posted on the 13th of December by Joe Vaccaro on the harpers.org website, and this does concern the news of the previous week. Russians in 9 time zones rallied to demand a revote of their country's December 4th parliamentary elections, in which the ruling United Russia Party won a slim majority. Russia's only independent election monitoring group logged more than 5,000 fraud allegations, while videos posted to YouTube showed stuffed ballot boxes, voting booths supplied with erasable ink, and buses taking people to vote at multiple locations. If someone writes the phrase "party of swindlers and thieves" on a blog, tweeted Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, he is just an F-face. As many as 50,000 people protested in Bolotnaya Square across the Moskva River from the Kremlin, despite the deployment of thousands of troops in Moscow. In Beijing, two Russian foreign exchange students accepted the Confucius Peace Prize on behalf of Vladimir Putin, who was selected over the Chinese Panchen Lama and the father of hybrid rice. The award citation praised Putin for crushing anti-government forces in Chechnya, where voter turnout in the parliamentary elections was a reported 99.5%. with 99.5% in favor of United Russia. British Prime Minister David Cameron vetoed a proposed amendment to the European Union treaty that would have imposed stricter fiscal discipline on member countries, citing concern for London's financial services industry. The other 26 EU nations indicated that they would push ahead with the treaty. A Britain which leaves the EU will be considered to be irrelevant by Washington, said Cameron's coalition partner and Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg, and will be considered a pygmy in the world. Meanwhile, by coincidence, in Malaysia, a tourist was gored to death by a pygmy elephant. A U.S. surveillance drone crashed in Iran. Iranian military officials claim to have brought down the plane by hacking into its control system, though an American analyst said the craft most likely crashed on its own, because that's what drones do. Parliamentarian Parviz Sururi said Iran would reverse engineer the drone and that any recovered data would be used to file a lawsuit against the United States. Ho-ho. A new Sunni terrorist group took credit for a bombing that killed at least 55 Shia worshippers at a Kabul shrine, citing as justification such criminal behavior as the flying of Shia banners in Sunni areas. In the second attack by a gunman at Virginia Tech in 4 years, Radford University student Ross Ashley shot and killed a police officer, then shot and killed himself. Ashley's former roommate said, "I'm kind of surprised. I'm also not kind of surprised." Florida state lawmakers had panic buttons installed on their cell phones 2 months after passing a law allowing concealed firearms to be carried in every part of the state capitol except the legislative chambers and committee rooms. In suburban San Francisco, an unforeseen bounce on the set of the television show Mythbusters sent a cannonball through the front door and back wall of a house, across 6 lanes of traffic, across the roof of a second house, and through the window of a minivan where it came to rest on the floor. Tensions arose between North Korea and South Korea following a proposal by a South Korean church group to place Christmas lights on a watchtower along the DMZ. The enemy warmongers said the North Korean government's website should be aware that they should be held responsible entirely for any unexpected consequences that may be caused by their scheme. The Obama administration announced that it would begin using foreign aid to promote lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights worldwide. Oh, what will the Christians think of that? And Nigeria's House of Representatives took up a bill banning marriage and public displays of affection between gays, said parliamentary spokesman Zakari Mohammed. "We are black people. We are not white." Republican presidential candidate Rick Perry appeared in an ad criticizing gay rights while dressed in a jacket nearly identical to the one worn by Heath Ledger in Brokeback Mountain. Rick Perry is gay. You know that, right? And a Michigan music teacher was reprimanded for changing the Deck the Halls lyric, "Don we now our gay apparel," to "Don we now our bright apparel." For the second time this year, firefighters in Obion County, Tennessee, watched a home burn to the ground after its owner failed to pay a $75 service fee. A DeSoto Parish woman became the second Louisianian to be killed by a brain-eating amoeba after infecting herself while rinsing her sinuses with a neti pot. A Bolivian teenager was reported to have committed suicide by piranha. That's a good one. Reagan, a yellow Labrador from Iowa, saved kittens Skipper and Tipper from dying in a meow mix bag. Scientists blamed climate change for a rise in polar bear cannibalism. A severe butter shortage struck Norway, owing partly to a high-fat diet craze. Real Norwegian butter, read an ad placed by one profiteer. Almost unused. Police in North Carolina arrested Loretta Cheek for administering an illegal butt plant injection. A woman in New Jersey was charged with manslaughter for killing a man by injecting his penis with silicone. Oh, baby. And Michigan and Wisconsin argued over which state was shaped more like a mitten. We understand their mitten envy, said a spokesman from Travel Michigan. It's not our fault, said a Wisconsinite from Nina, that their thumb is smaller. Thanks a lot, Joe Vaccaro. Thank you for listening to the Kill Radio Weekly News. I hope you found this interesting. If you have anything you want to say to me, write to me at chillroom, that's one word, chillroom, at gmail.com, and tell me how smart I am or how dumb I am. Either one counts. This is DJ Bennett for the Kill Radio, saying listen to my music show, The Chill Room, every Friday night on killradio.org at 11 p.m. And I'll see you next week.